freedom, liberty, the pursuit of happiness is until it isn't. If you're in trouble with the law, facing jail time, parole, probation, or sentencing, then stay tuned for Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival with Greg Harris. It may just save your life.
Hello and good afternoon, good evening, depending on what part of the country here in the U.S. that you're in. This is Greg Harris, G. Blackwell Harris, coming to you with another weekly show on BBS Radio 1, Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival. I am your host, Greg Harris. And this week in particular, I want to welcome everyone, all the listeners out there. I want to thank you for joining us here. And I want to give a Mother's Day tribute to my mom, Reverend Cora Harris. And just, you know, want to thank her with this tribute for disclosing and teaching me as well as my siblings the things that we were, you know, were able to obtain from her as well as my father. And showing us the many things she showed us from a moral standpoint as well as just assisting others. I mean, with 9 children and then taking another children to live with us, that's just a feat you don't see every day. So definitely want to make this show a tribute to her. And all the mothers out there, I want to wish a happy Mother's Day, too, especially to my daughters and the mother of my children, Sharon. So with that said, I want to give you a little disclosure as well. And here at Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival, I mean, it's a show for, you know, to hopefully assist someone that has to take that perilous walk, God forbid. But I want to give a little disclosure, and although I try to, you know, be as pro-social as possible here on the show, you know, we can get a little candid around here with the jail talk and so forth. So just want to, you know, give you a heads up, listener, beware. You know, in other words, this ain't your Ozzy and Harriet show. So I just want to let you be forewarned right there. Okay? So, okay. I also want to let you know, should you have a burning desire and you want to give a call in, we have a toll-free number, 888-627-6008. You're welcome to call in and say what you have to say. I've used not only just about jail and parole and probation, although that's a, you know, focal point, but it's been my experience, whether you're talking about entertainment, finances, politics, it could all lead to jail, and vice versa, lead back out. So with that being said, feel free. Call in. In the meantime, I'd like to share a story. The other day, I was you know, I do a lot of driving here in Southern California, here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I'm all over the place. And riding through downtown L.A., as I often do, but on one particular day I was riding through downtown L.A., and I had a thought as I was riding through the homeless community. And the thought, derived from, you know, looking at the homeless in their tent city, like nothing else you've ever seen. So I thought about that as I looked at it for this week's show and how we all just drive by. Because I drive from Bel Air, Beverly Hills, clear to downtown L.A., the backside of it, where it's horrendous. Looks nothing like the rest of the city. So riding down the street, Fifth Street in particular, and just had a thought of how easy it is to be right alongside of one of these homeless people. It has a lot to do with going to jail, because here in L.A., as a little heads up for anyone out there that may get pulled over for a traffic ticket or have a warrant or whatever reason that you may wind up in the pokey, and that leads to winding up to the county jail. And if you're pulled over in downtown areas, sometimes it doesn't have to necessarily be in the county jail, any downtown jail, you're going to be side by side 9 times out of 10 with a couple of those homeless people down there that you see in the tent. And to make that look a little bit even more, oh boy, once you get in the county jail downtown L.A., they have a situation there where the cops in there, they tell you to, you know, tighten up. You know, they need the room on a particular bench to push up. And got to get close. They put you in a nut-to-butt position. So the nut-to-butt position, I don't care who you are, who you think you are, they tell you to pull up, push up, get close to the guy, you're going to do that. And you could very well be breathing down the neck or have one of those homeless guys breathing down your neck in formation. It's just one of the particular things that can happen, you know, going through that process. And it's every day. So, I mean, it's gotten worse over the years, I'm sure. And to collateral to that, while you're in there, aside from the officers, you know, the sheriff who happened to run that particular department of the county jail, you have the guys that's usually from the streets of L.A., downtown L.A., and a lot of people, a lot of guys consider themselves as what they're called DTGs, which means downtown gangster. Now, this particular person could be from anywhere in the country and just happened to, you know, make his homestead in Skid Row, downtown L.A. So he's part of that group. He became part of that group. And once they hit the jail system, that jail, in fact, L.A. County Jail, they literally run it. So that's just a heads up for, you know, for anyone. I mean, because that's something, look, one day to look at these people and, oh, look at that. That's so pitiful what's going on over there. That looks so sad. And then one fine day, you're not expecting it. You know, you didn't even know you had a warrant, because that oftentimes that's the case. And you wind up sitting nut to butt with the same guy you were looking at on Fifth Street that was sitting on the curb. You know, dingy, just as dingy as the curb. It's just it's a frightening sight for many, I'm sure. So, yeah, just a heads up on it. But you have that. That's just one of the inconveniences of going into a jail system. I mean, the shock of everyday normal life that you have, and you know, the positions that you can be put in a situation like that. Whereas you're looking at the same guy that was, you know, lower than low, you're asking him for a carton of milk. Now, if that ain't a Jimmy. So, I mean, you see these type of things, and these type of things you don't hear about because it's just an everyday low-level occurrence in the jail system. But it's been my experience, not only through my own, but through others, that, you know, going to jail is part of just part of the American way. I mean, we know that anyone can go. And just having a heads up and being a little bit aware of what you may have to face going in, because when you're in a situation like that, the cops can't help you. They're too busy doing whatever else they're doing. Also, they're not really concerned about that. You're in jail. It's a thing that they have. It's an attitude where handle it. Just handle it. Because, you know, we're over here dealing with another situation, trying to get you through. What could take, in L.A. County Jail, it could take up to maybe a day to get processed to even get upstairs. Although I haven't been in that particular system in quite a few years, but I'm sure it hadn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. So you have your breakouts of staph infection. It's just because of the filth, because that downtown situation comes there. The people from the 10th city, what have you, they bring that into the jail system. So So you have to be as best as you can up on your hygiene. Should you have to, you know, fall into that type of situation. But on the other hand, had another situation happen to me this week. A guy that I met, when I was in the federal halfway house, a little over 5 years ago. And this particular guy, you know, I went in for a white-collar crime, and this particular guy had just took a deal for a white-collar crime. Great guy, and I didn't know, you know, I wasn't even aware. I didn't know this was going to happen the morning I woke up, but a friend of mine was taking me to a job interview. He had, you know, a lead on where I may be able to get a job and start an income and start getting my life back together. So in the interim of all this, that morning, 5 years ago, I met the guy, and just so happened, hey, gee, just got out. In fact, he's in the house. Really? Yeah. Well, what can I start asking the guy questions? What kind of case you got? Okay, so I basically told him where he could be headed, but that it's a process that he'd have to go through here in L.A. It's MDC, downtown L.A. And, you know, just getting through that to get where you got to go and be a little something different, especially for a person that's never, you know, been incarcerated or been to jail before, even the feds and other stuff. The privilege part of it has diminished. It's not as it was before. I mean, I believe I caught the last bit of it because when I was in there, we're not going to say 5 years ago, we're going to say 10 years ago, 10 years ago, yeah. He still had the federal privilege of, you know, doing time. You know, you got stuff like movies, movie room, television room, microwaves, and so forth. And they still may have those things. I'm sure they have them, but years ago, it was just more abundant. They gave away a lot of stuff around Christmas. And when the crack law and the gun law started penetrating, well, actually, the crack penetrated the urban areas of the country, and then the gun laws followed that, and they went stacking the laws, that changed the system, where it started taking weights out, started taking smoking, and comfortable mattresses and the wood, you know, the wood paneling and the carpet on the floor. And now I know some of you out there may say, come on, stop. No, actually, yeah, I was there when they took the carpet up off the floor. So they took the wood out and put bars in, which, you know, they're changing the landscape because this is a different type of individual that's beginning to come in, and it's getting a little more tougher now because, you know, the social exchange is different, and so forth. And just, the whole everything is different. But you meet up here, and there you have it right there. That's where the clash began. But to my point, doing what I'm doing now with jail, parole, and probation, survive this particular show, and, you know, starting an outreach for that particular purpose, 5 years ago, when I spoke to this gentleman about what he may face, and I mean, he's a friend of my friend, so I was concerned about the guy, you know, about what he just may face, because he was concerned. And I had a clear eye on it, because I just walked out of there. So, I mean, I think I was 2 weeks out. And I know that I was able to benefit this guy and help him with his situation going in, give him a heads up, or whatever I can do, because he was able to tell me that he's out now. I don't have to mention his name or anything. I don't even think the guy has a name. But the thing is, he's out now and getting his life back together, and he's doing great. And let him know that we have the show here now, and in the future, we're looking to bring on guests and, you know, bring video on stream and get different looks for the same situation to help some people, because I actually helped that person, so that told me right there that what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. So that was affirmation for me. and as well as confirmation. So, but yeah, as I said, as I explained to him in detail as best I could, after finding out what particular kind of case he had, how much time, anything 10 years and under, especially for a first-time offender, white collar or light collar or, you know, nonviolent, you can qualify for a federal camp, which could be a lifesaver. You can skirt around a lot of stuff, unnecessary stuff that happens in jail, violence and what have you. You can get around it. But that's only if you qualify, you know, with that amount of time in that particular case and so forth and so on. I'm sure they have other things that they calculate in there, but I mean, I've seen guys leave right out of MDC, which is like a federal county jail, if you will, hold over while you're going back and forth to court, and go straight from there to a camp. So that's, you know, I mean, with relief written on their face. So for me, it was a process. I had to come from a high, whereas I started off in a position where you had to walk out every day and look both left and right before you walked out that door. And that's just for me. That was where I was. And I had to walk my way down from there to a medium. Then from a medium, which the medium was high, but just the fact that they called it a medium is better than being where I was, so, you know, which was a real high. So, and then on down to a camp where I saw some normal, well, as far as jail, but normalcy with people acting, speaking, hello, good morning, what have you. Because on a higher level institution, I mean, good morning and hey, how you doing? It's just not a normal occurrence every day. So to get from come from that to get to a point whereas you can get to a place where you're speaking, just a hello, is a huge difference, a huge, big difference. You know, as I said, some a bit of normalcy, whereas you can, you know, talk about your kids and, you know, you feel good with a visit and so forth. In fact, I was in a camp, federal camp, and in fact, they call this like the Beverly Hills of camps out here on the West Coast. We had a actual animal day. It was for Father's Day. They had the they brought horses up, pigs, cows, chickens, goats, and for a guy that's been incarcerated to see these type of things with the kids interacting, and you're interacting with your own children or grandchildren, in my case, as well as my children, and then with the animals and so forth. And I still have a picture of my granddaughter on top of a horse. That was huge. But that was a big day for me because that showed me some outside life with my loved ones while still incarcerated. And that was a special thing. I mean, you don't see that everywhere. And that was a federal program that actually worked because everyone that participated in that, along with their families, we all, I mean, we were gleeful. I can remember we were gleeful, like, for months. I can remember that. It was just, you know, a thing. So that fulfilled a lot of hopes and desires and, you know, brought people together closer and so forth. It did a lot of good. I was there to witness that. I was there to be a part of it. So that's good. And I'll tell any guy that's, you know, like awaiting to turn himself in or check in or look in or what, you know, whichever way you want to go, these things are good to know because that, you know, you need hope. Sometimes it's difficult for other people, you know, more so than for some, to have that hope or even to find it. And they become hopeless. So hearing stories like that and knowing things like that going in, where they have a ton, as in the federal system, again, they have tons of programs where a guy can, or a young lady can take and, you know, get a certificate. And that certificate, it's real important because what that does, for me anyway, it puts some balance back. Like for me, I took many classes in the federal system. I mean, from parenting and anger management. And not that I was such an angry guy, but I wanted to take the class to see what anger management, or what anger was, period. And how do you manage it? Because, you know, it's said anger management. So let's see what it is, because, you know, it comes in so many different forms. I had to take a look, and I was able to. So that was available for me, and CPR, and just, you know, many things that, you know, I even taught, and as well as I was a pupil as well as an assistant teacher of a financial class, which helped me broaden my, you know, understanding as to what's going on with the stock market. Not that I need to even, you know, participate in it, just to be aware and understand what's going on. So they had classes available such as that, and religious classes and so forth, whereas you can get a minister's, you know, degree and license and so forth, and college courses and so forth, and just, you know, many things that a guy, an individual, can take advantage of while he's incarcerated, and along with being overcrowded. And I've also discovered, and I don't know who this could assist, but whoever it may assist, I've also discovered that for a particular person, this happens to be a particular person, the best place to go when you're incarcerated, depending upon where you're at, you can get a little piece, a little semblance of peace, and you may be able to read for a few minutes. And that's the library. Because it's been my experience, like I've written 3 books when I was in there. And it's been my experience, they're not hanging out too much. Well, in one particular place, I was at a high maximum place, and everybody tended to hang out in the library because the climate was cold, it was warm in there, they had a lot of audio and a lot of books, so we listened to a lot of jazz and other music in there, watched a lot of movies, because they had a state-of-the-art video system. It was a brand-new maximum facility prison. It was brand new with all the state-of-the-art stuff in it, computers, and we were able to have, another thing in the feds, you're able to email with your loved ones and so forth. And those are good things. I mean, some of those things your attorney can tell you, but to hear it from a guy that's been there and can tell you the ins and outs of exactly what you have to do when you're going in there and you're dealing with this stuff, and what toes you don't want to step on and lines you don't want to cross and so forth, it's just a heads up that I can say could very well spare you. But the total difference between one system and another, meaning the state and the federal system, is just like day and night. The levels of the prison, of course, meaning high, low, medium, camp. It depends on just how your life's going to go. Actually, you depend on which one of those you happen to land in. It's like a low. It sounds like it should be a low. But, you know, the activities that go on in there are more like a medium or a gladiator school. See? So, but the fact that it's a low, just the fact that it's a low, a guy, you know, don't want to lose that, because that's, you're losing your chance of getting to a camp, because that's where you go for from a camp, from a low. Or you stand the chance of getting transferred back to a higher classification, to a medium, which could put you in a pickle to be transferred to a high, which could put you in a pickle to be transferred back to court for a brand new murder, because that's how it happens like that. So to get out of one situation, you want to do what you have to, which is just, you know, abide the rules and step where they say step, and don't where they say don't, to get to the next level. That's what it's like that. I mean, it's a tiered program, whereas you have to work your way down to work your way out. And does it work? Yes. Does it not work? Yes. Just depends on the individual and what you're doing in there, because there's plenty to do, especially if you're at a camp. I can remember being at a camp, and Now, I think we were watching one of the Avenger movies, I believe. And the guy tapped me on the shoulder. Hey, what do you want? Oh, yeah. Jelly beans. That's it. But I wouldn't recommend you do that with whomever you trust to bring stuff in. And not because, I mean, they do it. And that's one of the things at a camp, you're willingly doing time, because you can leave whenever you like. You're at a point where they really want you to police yourself, because, like, I was at a camp, it was, 200 guys there and two cops. At night, one cop. So you can go out in the parking lot, look around, let somebody pull up and take you out of there. You can do that. You can leave whenever you're ready. So you're willingly doing time when you're at that point at a camp, and that's where you want to get to, a trusting position. And being there, I qualify for a program that leads to recovery and so forth, and recovery of behavior, not from alcohol or drugs or anything like that, but behavioral recovery. And some of the pointers that I learned in that particular program I use to this day. And leaving that one particular camp to go to another led me to work, and I'll use this on my resume to this day, actually work at Vandenberg Air Force. Actually work right there on the base. Because I was a white-collar criminal and so forth at the time, and on the skirts of getting out within a particular period of time, I'm on the private beach of Vandenberg, where the defenses are. They'll stop a North Korean, God forbid, should something like that disastrous happen, or anything else on the peninsula coming from that way. So I'm right there. I'm looking at the silo. So jail, that particular jail, they're showing me something. I mean, I actually had a chance to bear witness a mountain lion at the top of a mountain and a bald eagle pick up a snake and take him away with him. That was majestic to see that. Hey, I was doing time when I witnessed it. Vandenberg Air Force. So, yeah. In fact, the way to show you the way you go around, and for me, anyway, to take advantage of what's, being offered, because I wanted it. I was, after doing so many years, things changed, technology advanced, and so forth. The young guys on base, the infantry guys, the guys we work with, they literally taught me about Pandora and Spotify and what's going on online, because the guy had his phone right there. He showed me how the music worked, because it was fascinating. It was new to me. Brand new. I never saw anything. I saw it on TV, heard about it, but now I'm here. I'm looking at his phone, of course. And he's teaching. He's showing me. Biggie Small, you can pull them out. So from that day to this day, now, which I happen to be an artist under G. Blackwell, for anyone that want to get out there and listen to my music, you're able to pull my music up on all those platforms. Tidal, doesn't matter, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, all of them. So that's just a blessing that happens from that day to this day. And speaking of streaming everywhere, this podcast will be available after this date, meaning probably Monday or Tuesday, streaming all over the place as well, those same outlets. And that's just the beauty and the blessings of, doing, not to brag or toot my own horn, because there's nothing to brag about in this position, but it's just something to render and make available to someone else that, may be in the same type of pickle, that may need to hear a story of getting around it or getting through it from someone who's doing it every day. I mean, I've done it, I've achieved parole, I've gotten out, I've done that before, but I'm out, got my life in motion. So it's an ing behind it because it's continuing. I like to consider myself as a recovering jailbird. Now, so the best way to do that is to assist someone else. Now, that's what they say in the other recovery programs. So if it works there, it has to work here. So that's what, you know, that's the foundation of it. As with all foundations of programs, that's the purpose. And to this date, for me, it works. Not to toot, as I said, it's nothing to toot my horn about. I like to toot my horn about my music. As I said, you can go download that thing now, whatever you're streaming on. It's on G Blackwell. It's right there. But back to the story. As I said, being in the federal system is just more of a learning experience. I mean, because I've met some of the, I've met attorneys, I've met senators, I've met mayors, governors, bank robbers, you know, some of the top of the top, white-collar Wall Street guys. So it has an array of different people in there. I met, you know, gangbangers from every city. So it's like, it's just an array of people that it actually could be like a UN meeting in some places, because you have Koreans, you have different nationalities in there, and you're in there. So it's hard to avoid, just 100% avoid each other. I mean, you have, in certain places you can still cook with your aspirations, you know, you can still keep your aspirations in the forefront of your mind and maybe do a few things to make it happen from it. I mean, I've actually seen guys sell story scripts from inside of a federal prison. So it's a possibility. So life ain't over unless you're at one of those, like I say, maximum prisons or one of the highs, and it could get a little gloomy in there because you have to look at a grit, particular grit every day. And I can, you know, I can just imagine when you don't have anybody to shoot the shit with, for lack of a better term, and just take to the side with, because I've seen many just like outcast, and you just make yourself, you become a target. So it's a fine line. I mean, it's just it's the fine line to know, not know anyone, to be walking in one of those places. It's just, I mean, you have to damn near turn into a rock mentally or whatever, whatever you got to do. But that ain't the answer, because that's the best way to catch it. The thing is, just want to observe, just shut up, and just pay attention. It's just the best thing for anyone that may be, like I say, under that situation. I don't know. It's just the show is available to talk about it. Should you, be under that thumb or in that position? God forbid. We are here, 888-627-6008. Toll free. If you just want to talk about it. If not, it's okay, because it's a show for good listening. So you can do that too. And hopefully I'll say something for that person that may need that particular thing that I said to assist them or help them along their way. You know, because like I said, I had to learn through my travels and my journey that, I mean, sometimes you just have to take low and just do nothing. Just be real quiet and be still. And for me, I was able to gain strength and do, do what's necessary to, the last word of this name of the show is to survive. And sometimes it's a mental battle, sometimes it's a physical one. But to know which one it is, and the reason why I say that, I've been in positions where it should have been a physical situation. It should have. Right? But I was able to see and just know that I can outthink this person. And if I know that, that means it's like chess. I see the three moves in front of you, one. I see them. I'm looking right at them. So I was able to just do it that way, and everybody was able to eat later and go to sleep and wake up the next day. And that was okay. That was a good day because it didn't necessarily have to go that way. So oftentimes, for me, you know, and I guess the basis for starting the show is just to disclose that those particular type stories, because as I've discovered that going to jail is definitely part, I mean, of American culture. That's why they have so many. And that's why it's on the stock market doing so well, the private joints. It's because, you know, we're number one at incarcerating people. And not to say this is not a show to say how wrong they are and how bad. No, this ain't that type of show. I take full accountability for what G. Blackwell did. See? So it's not that type of show. But at the same time, you're welcome to call in if you have a, you know, something you want to vent about, but not too much, because, again, it's not that type of show. But, you know, so I don't even want to go down that street with it. It's like, for me, I had to find strength in accountability. And that was, no one had to force me to do that or convince me or none of that. No, that's something I discovered. I was just blessed in that aspect. I discovered that it was strength and accountability, meaning the more I'm responsible and accountable for whatever it is I've done, if I made amends or I've accepted something I've done wrong, I got stronger. The moment that I stepped to it and was able to look at it in the face and address it, I was able to defeat it because I owned it. It was mine. I could bury it. I could sell it. I could trade it for stamps, trade it for cigarettes. I can ship it out and mail it in the mail, ship it to Taiwan somewhere. I can get rid of it. But I can't do it until I own it. But if you don't own something, you can't make any decisions on it. So once I was able to own that, rock with it that way, put it in my wallet, I mean, take it with me, then I was able to barter it, see, or do whatever I was going to do with it. And that's just for me. So, I mean, I guess that could apply to whatever you're dealing with in life. Someone's harming you or, you know, thrilling you the wrong way, bending you the wrong way, or maybe at a job and you're not happy. The moment you take responsibility and accountability for whatever's going on, if you got a man that's treating you a certain way and he's saying certain things to you and you're not really feeling that and you're not liking it, you have to look at what part you're playing. Sure, he's the one that's displaying it or doing it, whatever, and that just in the scenario. But if you're the one that's accepting it, you have a part to play. You have to be, you have a responsibility. You're responsible for accepting it. So the moment that you take that, put that in your pocketbook or your hip pocket, now it's yours, and you're able to do whatever else you're going to do with it next. It's a step by step. I mean, if you, like I said, if you can own it, it's yours. So, but I had to get that in there. And, you know, and one of my, you know, I like to write. So one of my songs I wrote, I was like, that was my academy. And then I likened it to institutions, like, you know, you're going to learn, you know, it's a saying that we have. You're going to learn today, right, somewhere. So if you look at the college, a lot better in jail. You look at the armed forces, Navy, Army, Air Force, a lot better in jail. A lot better. That's your freedom. But they're all institutions, and there's someone there. If you look at college, a lot better in jail. Yeah, it's a lot better than Army. But it's someone there, the dean, the staff. staff sergeant, the drill sergeant, the commander, you see, the warden, the captain. It's always someone in authority that's going to put you into shape. That's going to, we know what the word is, they're going to teach you, but I don't want to say that. That's going to learn you, you see. That's going to learn you. So with that in mind, it's just you have a choice. Even if you don't have a choice, you have a choice to pick. So I'm grateful to this day that I was able to use my collegiate criminal skills to accept that fact. They had to be. They had to be collegiate criminal skills. You know, because I was all in, but I'm a thinker. You know, back when I was doing, you know, criminal activity, I'm a thinker. I like thinking about it and doing it. So it's like, well, when I took accountability for it, that's the way I'm able to, you know, the only way I was able to, like, begin to overcome it. Because, you know, anything that can be a thrill to you can be a thrill to you. And for that, that's just a heavy thrill. So, and I'm not saying I'm liking anyone to myself, because this show is based on the guy tripping into jail. Just stumble. I didn't stumble into jail. So this show is based on a guy or a young lady or individual that stumbles more so into some shit. And they're like, oh, damn, you know, like that. So it's like some get-out methods and, you know, some get-around methods that are, you know, I'm trying to give to you, and would, you know, don't mind giving to you, and more than happy to give to you. For that individual, more so for the guy who's done the 10 to life two or three times in a row. You know, that guy, he knows what to do. So, just, you know, to show you the difference in the type of individuals that go back and forth or just go to jail. But, as I said, I know I'm the only one, but for anyone that may be going, like, to the state, that's a total different thing, because, I mean, you sign up for the war zone the minute you get there. It's more, and keep in mind, the feds are getting more this way, but the state is more racially segregated, meaning they put you, if you're in the cell, if you're in a high security level, you're definitely going to be in the cell with someone of your own race. I think they try to make it interracial, but the prison system, especially in California, is very, 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 very racist. First, the first thing it is racist. Not racist, but racial. It's just not just racist like that. Oh, they're racist. No, racial. Because anybody can win, anybody can lose. It's just cut up. So, and I mean, that's the main thing that can get it heated in there. And for anyone going through that, that's more of a call-in situation, because, or a four-hour show. Because the reason why I say that is because a lot happens there. You may have to join up with some shit up in there, because, you know, you want to live going through the state. Not that I joined up with anybody. Just that I'm speaking for the guy or the individual has to go in there that's looking around. See, him, the guy that's looking around. Because while you're looking around, somebody looking at you looking around. See? Because it's like a predatory place. I mean, that's where it's built on that. Many survive that way. Looking at how you blink, not just how you think. They're looking at how you blink, and you know what you're looking at and what you're worried about and so forth. So, I mean, you have to take on a certain, for that individual, you have to take on a certain persona, not to fake it, but just maybe pull another man up out of you or something. Because going up in there, they looking through you. It's an old saying. You know, and on Mother's Day, too. There's an old saying, say, yeah, well, you know, we all got a little of our mother in us. We all got a little of our mother in us. Well, in jail, especially in the state and them highs, they looking for a little bitch in your chest. That's what they looking for. And that's another whole different story there. Because unlike many people think, there's a lot of power in the pen. There's a lot of power. It's played out in the Fed big, but it's played out more viciously in the state on a more vicious level. And I guess next week we're going to talk more about that, too, about the power in the pen. But for now, I mean, it's power in the pen, meaning it's power in the penitentiary, as well as it's power in the pen, meaning an ink pen. Because, and just to, you know, skim over it, the ink pen, the cops inside can write you with what they call in the state a 115, which is a shot, and they call it a shot in the Fed, S-H-O-T. And it's, you know, for doing something wrong, it's a ticket. Disciplinary. That could change your date. In the Feds, if it changed your date, it changes. It stays that way until you get out. So if they shot or the whatever you got, disciplinary, they write it up and you get 30 days or whatever it is, 15 days or 60 days. That's 60 more days, and you're going to see it. You may not, I mean, if you may have 8 years or 7 years, but the 60 days will come back into play in your life later, and you'll feel it. It's like, God damn, had I been to see, you know. So, I mean, it could mean all the difference between getting out on Christmas or getting out February, right? So, big difference. So the thing is, you know, just with that, and just that whole federal system versus the state system, the state, I don't know, it's more grimy. I've been in situations where, I mean, the guy, I mean, just was, to get resuscitated, a guy needed a top ramen soup, just a soup. I mean, it sounds like it's not even real, but just it was that bad. Nobody had anything, any money, and the few that had something was like God in there. So it's just you never know with the situation. Then maybe some who could have had something didn't actually want to show their hand to show everyone else that they had something, okay? It's like a melting pot. And as I said, I've seen all walks of life. I mean, actors, mayors, and this is both in the state and the Fed. So, I mean, all walks of life. I've seen many. I've just sat back and just shook my head and just disbelief. Nothing I can do for them at the time, but just this guy ate alive. You actually see it played out maybe through conversation or just smoothing or sizing up or just can I help you or whatever. So, but you see it played out, I mean, the guy didn't even see it coming. So now that I'm on this side, able to assist anybody that might have to go through, I mean, because anyone that has to go through the jail system doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Because it's been my experience that I've met a lot of good people in jail that, you know, did bad things. You know, and I've been considered one myself, you know, a good person. Like, in this day that I'm living in now, I take care of many people to make sure they're okay when they're comes and going. And that's a benefit to me, is because that's what I like to do anyway. I mean, and it's a way I can give back to society as well. So, and hell, they couldn't have a better guy taking care of them anyway. You know, I've taken care of the warden. So, yeah. So the thing is, and he's like the president in there, for anyone that don't know, that powerful. But it's another lifestyle. It's another life system. But it's part of the American culture. That's why it's talked about. That's why it's in your movies, just about every hit. I don't care if it's Power to Billions to Homeland, whatever the top show is, that's sketchy and violent out there, jail is part of it. It doesn't matter. It's just part of the American culture, and it's part of our thing. It's part of our fiber. there's a commercial on TV where the guy said my great-grandfather got jailed for making booze, and now I found this old recipe, and look, now this is, okay, one of the brewers, the new brewery companies that's out here, there's plenty of them out here. And so jail is just weaved into the fabric, you know, the American culture, like I say, not to be so militant about it or anything like that, just making a point, it's just part of it, and I was just part of that part of history as far as America, not to lighten it, like I say, because it's all mine, see? But to know exactly what it is and know what I'm looking at, that's important. So, like I say, right now, what I'm doing is taking something that was not just meant for bad, was bad, and using it for good. My good is yours, well, is your good. So for anyone out there listening that may be going through a situation similar to what I've been through or not, your way in is my way out. That's just that simple. Happy to be here to assist. Happy to be here to throw you a few curveballs in a story or two. You know, that's the purpose of the show. But also to let you know that on Spotify, as well as Apple Music, Tidal, and the rest of them out there, we're streaming my music. I'm under G. Blackwell. Go give a listen. And tell me what you think. I accept all feedback. And I'm a guy that's fully charged, to do all that he can do. And expressing my talents is one of them. I just want to be able to put a convincing, powerful, presentable, purposeful, positive message out there for anyone, for any age, any color, any denomination, because I speak several languages. No, not literally, but just, you know, several languages of the heart. So the thing is, I go low and high. And if it's something that you or a loved one may be going through that you can't speak with your neighbor about, you know, because that will put you beneath them, see, or your friend, or you don't know anyone that you can really talk to about this particular situation, or you may, but they may be overboard, or they may know too much, or you may not want them knowing your business. Go to the website, and you're more than welcome to leave a message there. Leave your information, contact us, and we'll get back with you. Speak with you. More than happy to speak with you one-on-one. Making myself available for that, as well as any circuit speaking as far as for children. Once upon a time, before I went in, I was going to what's called a Nellis Youth Camp. And it's located near Norwalk, California. And I used to go in there, and I'll tell you, I used to go in there, and these kids were facing murders. They weren't getting out. So I would go in there and talk to them the best way I could. But the thing is with kids, the only way I was able to go in and speak with them is the fact that they allowed me and they accepted me back into the pack. Because, I mean, everyone wants to get the opportunity to step out the cell. And who's out there today talking? Okay, yeah, let's go. To get some coffee or a cookie or a donut or something, or just to take a stretch your legs and get away from the cell or the dorm, whatever you're in back there, to come out to see who the street people are, what they're bringing. Not even concerned about too much what they're talking about, what they're bringing. Got any donuts in the bag or, you know. So in our case, we did have donuts, coffee, so we was able to talk to them. And then in those talks, at the end of the talk, I can remember one of the guys, the youngsters coming up to me saying, "Hey, old dude, thank you." But he waited. He backtracked away from his buddies. He let them go in the back first, back to the cell house. He backtracked, came back around to me. Now, he could have been coming back around to get another donut. Or he could have been coming around to say, hey, really, thanks, man. Thanks, OG, for everything. What's the difference? None to me. It doesn't matter. He came back. So the thing is, what I want to do right now is welcome everyone for just, you know, being here with me on the show. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we're looking to be here and do this every week. We're looking to increase the time that we're on here. And we ask that you continue to support us, not asking you to send anything. If you can just give a listen, tell a friend, and share. I appreciate you. I just want to wish everyone out there that are listening to have a powerful week and do whatever it is that you desire to do, even if you fail, because you won't. Because when you step to do it, that's it. You've done it. That's the whole move, is just doing it. So hopefully someone out there can take that with them. Peace. Much love to you. And again, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Tune in live every week to Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival with Greg Harris on BBS Radio Station 1 on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And don't forget to connect with Greg on your favorite social media platform. He's there. To find out more, go to bbsradio.com/JPPS. We're glad you did.